Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
I went to seminary, which is University for Future Pastors. Fun! In Cincinnati, Ohio. When I went, I didn't know anyone there except Ryan. Ryan and I knew each other from Buffalo, New York, where we had worked together. In fact, I was the reason Ryan went to that college in Cincinnati. So at first, we only knew each other, and we would occasionally do things together. But one night, we went out, and I drove him to his dorm, was dropping him off after, when he asked, "Vince, have you ever had a friend and you started wondering why you were friends? Like, you didn't know why you were friends with this person?" I said, "Ryan, are you breaking up with me?" He looked embarrassed. He said, well, yeah, I guess. I was like, "Okay, that's okay." He said, "I'm sorry." I said, "No, it's fine." He got out of the car. I drove off, and I thought, Ryan just broke up with me. Weird. Well, then like 2 weeks later, Ryan called me and said, "Hey, Vince, why don't we do anything together anymore?" I was like, "'Cause you broke up with me." He said, "Well, I didn't mean we shouldn't hang out." I said, "No, that's exactly what it meant. What did you think it meant? All we do is hang out." Ryan said, "I don't know. I thought we'd still hang out." "No, you broke up with me." Have you ever wanted to break up with a friend or a roommate? Now, it may be that you never should have been friends in the first place, but that's not usually the case. There's a reason you became friends, right? There was something you liked about each other, something you had in common. So what's the problem? Usually it's a problem. Something happened that made everything feel different. And it stinks because you might lose a friend. We're in a series called Liking the One You Love. We've talked about liking your kids and liking your spouse. Today, liking your friends or your roommate, which if you have one of those and you've been stuck in the same place together for weeks and weeks, maybe they're getting harder to like. But again, you don't want to lose a friend. They're kind of hard to come by. And again, there's a reason you became friends. There's something you really do like. So what's the problem? Usually it's a problem. Something happened that made everything feel different. Your friend made a comment you didn't like or didn't do something you thought they should do, or disagreed with something you believe, or gave you a weird look, or responded to your text a day later. How long does it take to answer a text? Or roots for a team other than the Golden Knights, unacceptable. Something happened that made everything feel different. And that's not just with friends or roommates, this happens, right? With coworkers, family members, it can happen with anyone. So how do you keep liking the ones you love? How do you save a friendship? Maybe even better, how do you prevent a friendship from getting into that danger zone in the first place? How do you not have to break up with your friend or have your friend break up with you? I'm gonna give you a two-part plan. This plan is good. This plan will work. So you're welcome in advance. Two-part plan. You ready? Part one, assume the best. Assume the best. Check out what God says about how we should live and do relationships in the Bible in Colossians chapter 3. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's saying, if you are one of God's people, and you know that you are loved by Him, you're loved by Him despite your sin, even though you mess up and make mistakes, then love other people the way He loves you. Show other people compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. And part of what that's saying is, assume the best, because you get to choose what you think about other people. You choose what you believe about the other person's motives and intentions. Right? Isn't that true? It's not just that someone does something. It's that someone does something, and we then make choices about how we perceive it and respond to it. Right? Like, you text someone. They take forever to text back. Well, you get to choose how you perceive and respond to it. You can assume your friend doesn't care, that you're being ignored, or you can assume that your friend is busy right now. You ask your spouse to do something, maybe take out the garbage. They don't do it. You choose how you perceive and respond to that. You can assume that your spouse doesn't care about you, is rebelling against you, or you can assume that your spouse forgot. Have you ever said you were going to do something and forgot? I bet you have. When you forgot, do you want other people to assume it's because you're evil, or do you want other people to assume you forgot? You want them to assume the best about you. Jesus said in Mark 12:31, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love other people the way you want people to love you. And don't you want people to assume the best about you? Yeah. So love them like that. We talked once about this idea like maybe 2 years ago as filling the gap with love. What do I mean by gap? Well, it's the moment between what the person does and how you choose to perceive and respond to it. There's a gap between the action and the reaction. We don't recognize it, right? We think, no, they said this, so I said this. They did this, so I did this. Yeah, but there was a gap in between what they did and how you perceived and responded to it. And that gap is a key to having healthy relationships and saving relationships, because we get to choose what to do with that gap. And we need to fill the gap with love. What do I mean by love? Well, here's how God defines love in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. You notice it says it always trusts. Other translations say love believes all things. What does that mean? Well, it means love assumes the best. Love gives the benefit of the doubt. Love assigns the best motives, declares you innocent until proven guilty. Love does not suspect another without reason. Love always trusts. So, unless there's a good reason not to, like this doesn't apply to an abusive relationship, okay? Unless there's a good reason not to, you fill the gap with love. So, you remember, there's the action and then the reaction, but there's a moment between what the person does and how you choose to perceive and respond to it. There's the gap. In that gap, we are interpreting what the other person said or did. How we interpret their action will determine how we feel about it and how we respond. It's all about that gap, and we need to fill the gap with love, meaning we assume the best. With God's help, you can do that. If you're not used to doing that, Well, it's going to take a decision on your part, and you're going to need to pray. But with God's help, you can do that. So, how do you like the ones you love? How do you save a friendship? Maybe even better, how do you prevent a friendship from getting into the danger zone in the first place? How do you not have to break up with your friend or have your friend break up with you? Two-part plan, remember? Part one, assume the best. Part two, forgive the worst. Assume the best, forgive the worst. Remember what God says about how we should live and do relationships. Let's look again at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let's look back at verse 13 again. It says, forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. This is hard, right? I mean, we like the idea of forgiving. Forgiveness sounds great until it's me who has to do the forgiving. I don't know if I want to forgive. I don't know if I can forgive, but we need to forgive. If we want to like the one we love, if we want to keep and save our relationships, we need to forgive. I think part of the reason that we're not sure about forgiving is because we don't understand what forgiveness really is. God tells us to forgive, but we don't really understand what it is he's asking us to do. So let's understand what forgiveness is not and what it is. Forgiveness is not saying what happened was not wrong. Sometimes we don't want to forgive because it's like, no, but what they did to me was wrong. Yeah, it was. God tells us to forgive in Romans 12:17. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. It was wrong. God calls it evil, but still he says you need to forgive. Forgiving is not saying it wasn't wrong. Forgiveness is also not forgetting. We've all been told, well, forgive and forget. No, we can't forget. Our minds don't work that way. Forgiveness is also not just saying the words, I forgive you. Forgiving may include saying those words, but you can say those words and not really forgive. Forgiveness is also not pretending it didn't happen. Too often, our version of forgiving is burying our feelings. That never works. Jesus said in the book of the Bible called Matthew in chapter 18 that if anyone sins against you, go to that person and talk it out. We are not told to sweep it under the carpet. If you do, if you just pretend it never happened, you will become bitter. Those feelings will get toxic and you will find yourself not liking this person. If someone hurts you, you deal with it. You talk to them and you forgive. So, what is forgiveness? Well, first, forgiveness is releasing my hope for a better past. It doesn't mean you love your past, but you do need to accept it. It is what it is. You can't change it, and you need to release your hope for a better past, because if we stay bitter about our past, it can ruin our future. Like, I might lose this relationship, someone I really care about. But when we forgive, it doesn't change our past, but it can change our path. What happened doesn't change, but what can happen as I stop thinking about my past and start focusing on creating a better future, what can happen can change. Instead of me being bitter, our relationship could actually get better. Forgiveness is releasing my hope for a better past, and it can put us on a new path. Second, forgiveness is releasing my right to retaliate. Remember that verse we saw, Romans 12:17 said, do not repay anyone evil for evil. We give up our right to get back at the person, to seek revenge. The Bible says justice is God's job. If the person needs to be punished for what they've done, I'll let God figure that out. My job is to forgive. And that is not natural, and it's difficult, and it's not fair, but it is better. God is giving us a better way to live. Forgiveness is releasing my right to retaliate. Third, forgiveness also releases the power of Jesus into my life. God calls us to forgive, but he understands it's not easy. He knows it's not easy because he chose to forgive us. The Bible says we've all sinned against God in all kinds of awful ways. And God's response was to offer us forgiveness. It was not easy for him to do that. In fact, to do that, his son Jesus had to leave him and come to earth to suffer and die. God knows it's not easy to forgive. And that's why God offers to help us. He doesn't ask us to do it on our own. He offers to give us the power to forgive the other person. If you need to forgive, but don't think you can, ask him to help you. Man, that's what I had to do because I struggled for a long time to forgive my abusive dad. Finally, I did. But in a sense, I didn't. It was God empowering me to forgive. Forgiving is God's specialty. He can help you with it. Fourth, forgiving is releasing a prisoner and then realizing the prisoner was actually me. So when I was 20, as a brand new Christian, I read the verses where God tells us to forgive. I couldn't understand why. Why was God asking me to forgive my father? I thought, he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't care. He didn't apologize. But finally, I figured it out. Offering forgiveness wasn't about he, it was about me. God doesn't ask us to forgive to heal the other person. He asks us to forgive to heal ourselves. Nelson Mandela unjustly spent 27 grueling years in prison. But check this out. When he was inaugurated as president of South Africa, he had the prison warden who had unjustly treated him all those years on the platform with him. He honored him, and he reconciled with the white government who had kept him in jail those 27 years. Crazy. Later, Bill Clinton asked Mandela, why did he do that? Why did he forgive those people? And Mandela told him, those people controlled me for 27 years. When I got out of jail, I didn't want them to keep controlling my life. I wanted to release the venom I had built up all those years in jail. Forgiveness is deciding to release a prisoner and then realizing that the prisoner was actually me. In a book of the Bible called Hebrews chapter 12, we're told in verse 15 to not let any bitter root grow up in us. The idea is that if we don't forgive, bitterness takes root. I mean, you think about the roots of a tree. You don't see them, but they're there, right? They're underground. You could actually argue that they are the most significant thing about that tree. And the idea is with us, it's if you don't forgive, bitterness will take root in your life and it will affect everything. It will mess you up. It's been said, you've probably heard this, that not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die. The rat doesn't die. You do. And God asks you to forgive for you. And because it might just save a relationship. And man, relationships are so important. If you forgive, it releases the bitterness. You can see that other person for who they truly are, not some monster, but a broken, messed up, flawed person who made a mistake. And you recognize a broken, messed up, flawed person who makes mistakes when you see one because you are one. And so you show that person grace. I mean, after all, when you screw up, you want grace. You love your neighbor the same way you want to be loved. And beyond love, I think you might find that you actually find yourself liking this person again. Now, wouldn't that be cool? So, two-part plan. Assume the best, forgive the worst. You can do that. With God's help, you can do that. And when you do, you will become a better you. You'll have a better life. You'll have better relationships. And can I encourage you, if that sounds difficult, if you're like, I don't know how to ask God for that, I don't know how God could empower me, can I encourage you to go to our next step? Next step is a class, it's an interactive class where you will learn how to start and grow in a relationship with God so he can help you with stuff like this. We offer Next Step online, and so there's a link that you can click. You can join the Next Step Facebook group, and you'll be notified when Next Step is happening, and you can be a part of it when it happens. God can help us to live better lives instead of bitter lives. So now let's do that right now. Let's go to God, and let's pray and ask him to help us to do this. Let's pray together. God, thank you that what you ask us to do is exactly what you have done for us. You ask us to assume the best, and you have assumed the best about us, and you ask us to forgive the worst, and that's exactly what you did in us. You forgave the worst when you allowed Jesus to go to a cross and die for us. It cost you everything to forgive us. You know how hard it is. And so God, would you help us to forgive the person we've never forgiven, that person who it's still eating us up. We are prisoner to our unforgiveness. God, would you help us with all of our friends, with our roommates, with everybody, to assume the best and forgive the worst. God, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.